Welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 515. I'm Adam Toll. And he's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
I am the master!
That's not how we did it, but never mind. Mary Lang.
Human!
And guess what, everybody? She's back. It's Deborah Melrose.
I was only saying hello.
Yeah, there's quite a few quotes you could have had from the Captain Jack Doctor banter from this.
Gotta love Captain Jack.
But I thought, yeah. Felt sorry for Chanto. Anyway, on the live feed, we've got Lillian Robin. Hi. Lillian Robin, accidental subtitles, and Terry Miles. Hi, everybody.
Everybody.
And anybody who's listening to this show when it goes out, it's going to be a little bit nearer Christmas. So Merry Christmas!
And can we do Tim Drury's mention? It's his birthday today.
Yes, it's his birthday.
No, it's not. He hasn't told me it's his birthday, so no.
It is his birthday. I've wished him felicitations today.
No, he never told me it was his birthday, so sorry.
It's that. Mine on Tuesday.
So apparently it's Tim Drury's birthday. Yes, yeah, so this week, now I can get my head back into what we're supposed to be doing. We're going to be talking about Utopia, which apparently is what everybody gets when they listen to this show. And the other thing we're going to be talking about very briefly is what we thought of the latest series of Doctor Who, because we got up to episode 5 of when we were allowed to talk about it, and we've since watched episode 6. So I'm going to say what I thought about the series in general. I was very quick general. With Kobe around, it might not be so quick, but I thought it was really, really good, and mainly very good. There was a couple of stonking episodes, especially the Weeping Angel one. That was fantastic. Others were good. What we normally have is some duffers and a couple of slightly good ones. This time we got some really good ones and some exceptional ones until episode 6, which was okay, but a bit of a sort of, I was waiting for a really sort of interesting,
it went a bit flat.
Climax to it. And it was some really good. There wasn't too much really bad stuff. But it was more like episode 6 was more like the general Chibnall stuff we've been having for the previous 6 years. So it was a bit of a letdown. But, it's okay. I mean, what did you think about it, Kirby?
You must have been watching something different.
You didn't like it. Okay. What do you think about it, Debbie?
Even though Debbie and Mary don't think I spoke about it a lot on Tuesday, I spoke about it quite a bit on Tuesday on Earth Station Who.
Oh, God. There should be a sound effect for shamelessly plugging other podcasts.
Well, I was on it, albeit as a question.
Good for you.
It was okay.
Well, the whole series or just...
Flux.
It's the flux.
Oh, yeah, you didn't like the pronunciations and stuff, did you? Oh, well.
It's right gradely, it is. Right not gradely.
And flux was okay, but it had 2 good episodes, but it was very... It had no reason. Had no reason to even really exist. I hate the whole concept of the timeless child. I gave it... What did I give it? 3.5, I think.
Out of what?
5.
Mm. Well, that's not too bad.
Exactly.
It was visually stunning. I loved the look, but there were characters that didn't need to be there. It was confusing at times. It was Doctor Who, and I can't say no to Doctor Who. And the one thing I told them at the very beginning of the podcast was it wasn't Orphan 55.
Yay!
Okay, then, Debbie, what did you think of it?
I was really enjoying it up until like episode 6. I thought, wow, you could have squeezed so much more out of this and made a bit more sense. But because I felt it was too crowded, you could have whittled down to minimal characters and it would have just trotted along beautifully. But he always has to sort of pad it out more and more and more. And then when it comes to the denouement, it's like, quick, whittle it all into one 3/4 of an hour episode. And you're like, no. A bit like the end of Game of Thrones, you know, really promising, really great, really great, really great. Series 8, oh dear. You know, it just fell flat. And I want to watch it again, just all the way through, and just to try and demuddle, because I've found it with Isla especially hard to explain to her exactly what was going on, because you'd miss while you were talking, you'd miss another plot piece and another plot. So she was finding it hard to follow, especially with the splitting. And I ended up just explaining it more than watching it. So I'm going to do it again. But other than that, visually sumptuous, and some of the costumes were amazing, and the music was really good.
Splendid. I will say that I just found there was too many pointless characters, because I thought, okay, these characters, you know, the lovebirds in it, we're going to have some sort of explanation of their non-pointlessness, but they ended up being completely pointless. And what's his name? You know, Dan, doesn't it? His girlfriend, her being in it, for starters.
What was the point
of her? That was pretty pointless.
Red herrings, but it felt like too bad red herrings, if you see what I mean. Yeah.
I thought, if they're going to have them in there and doing this, that and the other, there's got to be a reason for it, and it turned out to be none. It was just extra actors to be employed, and, you know, it didn't matter. I mean, because there was some really good stuff in it, but those characters, I was sort of built up to nothing in the end of it, totally and utterly pointless. But on the whole, it was quite a little rum. I did enjoy episode 5 quite a lot, and like I say, the Weeping Angel episode was outstanding. So at least it wasn't a complete dead loss. It's just once again, and it's happened in Doctor Who, not just in the Chibnall era, in the previous, you know, two eras, some quite disappointing finales, basically. And Mary, what did you? Hang on. Mary, what did you think?
You expect me to be more critical than they were? We'll probably look back on this with some kind of nostalgia. We will probably rethink a lot of it and think, you know, that wasn't so bad. But right now, I suffered from fan wank and character overload. It just, it was too many people, too many plot lines to keep track of, too much every week. And I ended up being confused, hoping it would all, you know, tie together at the end.
And it didn't.
But I'm splitting the Doctor into multiple locations to solve all of these, you know, hanging threads was just a bit too far. So I was disappointed by the end, you know, again, because the way it wrapped up. So I don't disagree with anything that you or Kirby or Deb had to say.
It was too quick. Yeah, the series was far too quick as well.
More positively than we feel about it now.
Thank you.
We had a multi-doctor episode. The three doctors.
Yeah, whatever.
It's the multiverse. It's already happening.
I will say, in regards to the thingy child, what's it called again? The timeless child. I haven't got a major problem with that. I've got a funny feeling that a simple writer could undo it, but I don't really want it undone. I quite like the idea. But there's also a line in Utopia that the master says before he realizes he's a master, which he describes being found in a place very similar to the way the timeless child was found. I don't know if anybody picked up on that, did they?
Yes, I saw that.
So I thought that was quite interesting. Right then, so.
But it was also so drippy emotional at the end. I mean, we've been so tired of these boyfriend-girlfriend matches going on. And I felt for sure that at the end of this, the Doctor and Yaz were going to be a couple.
I think they were trying to sort of push it that way. I don't like that. I think the Doctor should be asexual, no matter what gender she is, he is, whatever. I think the Doctor should be looked up upon, but not doing anything, you know.
Yeah, you? Fred watched it. Fred watched it with me, and she liked all of Flux, but she likes a lot of things I don't like.
Good. Well, good for her.
She liked Orphan 55. So
One thing I did like though, Kirby, I did like the passenger that, but, form. I love that concept. That was really good, but I bet they've nicked that off somewhere else.
But oddly enough, she wanted to go back and get some background because she'd forgotten. And this morning, she and I watched Fugitive of the Jadoon again to see the origin of the Ruth Doctor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And watching that again, it's even better.
Yeah.
Yeah, some good stuff. I'm not saying there's no good stuff in the Chibnall era. Era. It's just there's a glut of it. Right.
And there's also things that just don't belong.
Yeah, I mean, we liked Fugitive when we saw it the first time.
Yes, yeah. We did.
So it's loved it. Yeah.
Well, suddenly stopped liking it.
I think I loved it even better because seeing how we've seen her since, particularly in Flux. I mean, Flux.
What about talking about Fugitive of the Jadoon? Of course, we've got an actress in that who's now become extremely successful in the United States of America. Unfortunately, she was killed off quite early in the future to the Jadoon, but at least we can say, oh, she was in Doctor Who. And maybe they could have actually turned into her into future Doctor, but trouble is she's too successful now.
Who are you talking about?
I love it when you say that to me. Right, she was in Umbrella Academy. She played one of the characters in that, and she was in a film we watched quite recently.
Never saw the Umbrella Academy.
I haven't either.
Well, watch it then. She was in a film with Ryan Reynolds where she played a CI sort of A-type agent, like a double-double-double-double-triple-quadruple agent. It's a funny film that's got The Rock in it. I mean, sorry, Dwayne Johnson.
So are you talking about the character who was the Time Lord who was part of the Vision in Fugitive? Oh, okay.
Yeah, she gets done in.
Girl.
Yeah, but she's a main star
the one
of a movie
with the weird headdress thing.
With Ryan Reynolds and Dwayne Johnson, the title of which escapes me, but it is on Netflix, I believe.
Adam is Red Something.
You are correct. It is Red Something, but the word something isn't in the title. If that makes sense.
Yeah, right, but then. Red is in it, but something. Yeah,
it's
isn't
a good film. It's really funny.
The
excellent.
Something.
Excellent, yes. Ryan Reynolds fodder. It's superb. Right,
we've got a lot of feedback on the. On
I know.
Our,
I was just about to read that. Right. Lillian Robbins says subtitles said Kirby Butterstone.
That's why I love him. That's why I love so much.
That's it. Now that's it. He's Butterstone forever.
Kirby Butterstone.
Patty Tiller says, I agree wholeheartedly about the timeless child idea. Terrible. Lillian Robbins said, I give it a 3. Also, they read out at least 2 of my comments on the Earth Station. Will you stop plugging other podcasts? Otherwise, I'll have to create a new sound effect for it. Oh, I have got one. I've got one already. Hang on.
I was going to say Lillian was what
you
do.
Right.
Don't give her one of them. That's mean.
Oh, no, plug another podcast. No. Terry Marr said, I tried watching the whole 6 again today, and I still find it very confusing. Chibnall.
Well done for trying.
The word is not confusing. It's chibnoozing. And Lillian Robbins says...
Well done for trying, though. That's a long haul today, that would have been.
Oh, Lillian Robbins, that's a bit of a joker here. We're going to have to get the sound effect ready for her. Where is it?
Oh, dear God, what?
Hang on.
Don't be mean.
Lillian Robbins says, Dan's girlfriend was a character that was essentially armless.
Oh, God.
Patty Tiller says, the only thing I could think about Dan's girlfriend was that the first episode was built up that he loved Liverpool and had everything he wanted in Liverpool, even though he had no job or money. With his girlfriend rejected him and the earlier loss of his house, it's jumping up all the time, that's why I'm trying, having difficulty reading it, he could cut the ties and willingly make the choice to go with the doctor. He was just kidnapped before. Ian Kirk says, Flux felt like an anniversary story with being for a general audience, but all the references for the fans, it was just a Chibnall homage to his leaving. Maybe so. Lillian Robbins said, hey, that's one of the Kirby's, isn't it? And Brandon Moore said, I couldn't give it a flux. Thanks, Brandon.
A flux.
All right,
that
then.
Was one thing, that was one thing on Tuesday that I kept wanting to pronounce it flux, and I forgot.
Oh, dear.
Utopia.
So it begins with the TARDIS materializing in a very well-known part of Cardiff, which was used in a very well-known spin-off series called Torchwood, which is particularly topical. While the Doctor does a ridiculous thing that's never happened before or since, refuels the TARDIS on the rift in time and space. Now, he refuels...
He's done this before.
The TARDIS doesn't need fuel. Anyway, so
I know,
he's doing
but he's
this,
done it before.
Giving them a reason to actually be there. So as Captain Jack, who's got a special TARDIS detector, his hand goes... So he's running to try and catch up with the TARDIS before the Doctor dematerialises. But Doctor actually does see Captain Jack from the viewfinder trying to run towards the... totally overloaded with stuff. He might have got there a bit quicker if he'd not got so much stuff with him. And I do love there's a scene, actually, when he's running towards the TARDIS, you can see some people walking behind the TARDIS looking at John Barrowman licking it towards the TARDIS. What the hell's going on there? But the funny thing is, every time they cut back and forward, the people behind the TARDIS are in slightly different positions. So I suppose that could be wibbly-wobbly-timey-wimey stuff. Anyway, the TARDIS dematerialises.
Master.
Oh, that's not bad, Kirby. I've got a minute in.
There is a scene in the episode of Torchwood that had just been broadcast before this, where at the very end, Jack does notice that the arm is bubbling and he packs up stuff very quickly and runs out.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the last episode of the first season. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Thank you, Kirby. Anyway, so the TARDIS dematerializes, but because somebody's hanging on to it, and guess who, all hell breaks loose and it starts going a bit doolally, a bit like one of Kirby's computers, and they end up going really, really far into the future.
Master?
Yes?
the main reason that from the pre-credit sequence that they show the future kind is RTD and explains in the commentary that if he hadn't put that little scene in there, that you would have wondered why it shifted from a picture of Jack clinging onto the TARDIS to the title sequence where he's not clinging onto the TARDIS. And he also promised that sometime in the future, when they remaster all these things and put out a new set of all these episodes, he wants them to CGI Jack onto the TARDIS in the title sequence.
Splendid. Brandon Moore says, Chan, BTW, sorry I'm late. Was someone kissing me? Poe. Too much information. So anyway, they materialize in the distant future after the Jack is attached. He is in fact attached to the TARDIS as it's going through the vortex, and we see some people with very sharp teeth snarling and stuff, and some horrible facial piercings and looking quite tattoos and stuff, and then like Kirby says, the TARDIS suddenly in the title sequence hasn't got Captain Jack attached to it. Well, it wouldn't do because it's only the title sequence, and John Barrowman is missing from the title sequence. That's naughty.
What? I thought he was in the title sequence.
His name is in there.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, he must go through really quickly because I can't see it. I'm watching a version that hasn't got it. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
That's possible because that's one thing that they pointed out in the commentary, that John Barrowman's name was in the title sequence.
Well, I apologize again.
I saw it.
So anyway,
rewatching the title sequence, so I'll tell you as well.
Yeah, whatever. So there's stuff going on. There's a chap being sort of scared by these scary people. I skipped back and I saw John Barrowman's name in the title sequence. But what?
It's right after Freema's name.
I don't care. I've moved on from that. Right. So this chap is being sort of
hunted
by these scary people. And we flash to Sir Derek Jacobi in a lab with a rather irritating insect creature that says what? Chan before everything and then toe at the end of every sentence.
Master!
What yeah, now? Just
nice. Chanto is nice. Chanto is one of my favorite
she's
characters.
She's a nice person, but the Chan toe thing is...
No, it's cool.
It's different.
I was going to do a Chanto quote if you hadn't given me the opportunity to go, I am the master. But Chanto is great. But master. Another thing from the commentary. Sir Derek Jacobi or Jacobi?
Jacobi.
Okay, it's between the two. Anyway. His costume there is supposed to evoke William Hartnell, by the way.
Splendid. Anyway, but you can see that they're obviously got a little bit of a relationship, and because even Professor Yana is getting a little bit irritated by Chanto's Chantoisms.
No.
Yes, and then he has a bit of a funny turn.
No. Master is irritated by it.
He's not the master yet. He's still...
He's not irritated by it. He likes it.
Anyway, where did I get up to? Oh, I lost where I was now. Oh, in that case, I'll say what people are saying on the thread. Ian Kirk says, Jack was a Klingon. Oh, go on then, Ian. And Brandon Moore said, it was worse than that. He's dead, Jim. Well, I don't know if that did the whole thing or not. Back to Doctor Who. All right, then. So, just a little introduction scene. Well, it looks like Yana's got a bit of a migraine going on because he hears the Ringo Starr going in the background.
Ringo Starr.
He was a member of a group called the Beatles. I thought we were talking about Liverpool.
I do know.
That would be quite topical.
Yeah, I started watching the Beatles thing.
The documentary.
About a week ago. Mm. It's good, but I just need to find the time to...
It's really
I just watched it in bits. I thought, well, I've got nothing. I'll watch a bit of Get Back. You don't have to watch it in... Well, I mean, it would be difficult in watching it in a whole, you know... Nobody's got the time to watch it, that much of it. And if it came out when we're on lockdown, it'll be fine, wouldn't it? But yes, it's a good... You can actually watch it in little segments. It's good. Right, where'd I go? Oh, yeah, the Doctor and Martha sort of worried because they've landed somewhere quite dangerous, in a distant future.
A quarry.
What?
A quarry.
No, oh, whatever. But, of course, they want to go and have a look. They always should really leave, says the Doctor, but no. And as they get out, Martha discovers a dead man just outside the TARDIS. The Doctor's looking at him.
Cue in the Torchwood music. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't actually know. And, of course, Martha runs in to get a first aid kit, and the Doctor's very flippant because he knows what's going to happen. Of course, he comes back to life and does an immediate bit of flirting with Martha. Jack's slightly peeved with the Doctor, actually, for the first part of the episode. You abandoned me.
The Doctor's peeved with him as well.
Yeah. We can see they're still... sort of like each other a bit, and so they go on a little walk and after a conversation about what was going on in regards to the their sort of parting. Slider's gone funny. What?
Master, I love the whole bit of the conversation dealing with Rose, like when Martha goes, oh, she was blonde.
Yeah, I know, I thought that was quite funny too. Anyway, so eventually this sort of person runs past. It's Jack. Oh, yeah, so they're running for something. Well, they're running from something, I don't know. But oh, yeah, this bloke who was being scared by the sharp teeth people. Actually being chased by the sharp teeth people. So they all sort of end up being caught into this little chase thing and eventually are let into the compound area, which doesn't look anything like the rest of the compound. And this chap sort of tries to put off the...
I call your attention to the fact that there's a scaffolding inside that
area. She didn't say what I was about to say.
I didn't see that.
Oh, well done, Mary.
Mary, well done.
scaffolding in there is the same scaffolding that Tennant has climbed twice before.
Oh, right, okay. Here we go.
No.
Ooh.
No, this scaffolding was only used. This isn't the scaffolding from The Wire. I'm hungry. Or this is the top of the Empire State Building. That's the only other place that they used it.
Well, my source says that it was used in The Wire and and Dulles.
You know, if you look at The Wire one and at this one, they look different.
Anyway,
it's also a different quarry.
Oh, jeez.
The quarry that the silo entrance is at is the quarry from Satan Pit.
Kirby's trying his hardest to bore us. Time to make a cup of tea. You know he's going to ignore us. Maybe you will go for a wee.
I sings it constantly.
When RTD got to the set at that quarry, and he saw that tunnel, he went, "Oh no! I didn't know there was a tunnel there. I would have set something inside of that tunnel, a scene."
Okay.
Where did I get up to? Oh yeah, so they get inside, and what gets me, they get inside the gate, and this bloke with a, bearing in mind this is millions and billions of years into the future, has a standard old sort of gun, which he shoots at the ground in front of these chasing toothy people, and thinks that they're not going to bounce up off the ground and kill any of them. But there you go. Maybe they're special guns that don't bounce off the ground at all, ever. So, there's a bit of a standoff, and they all go inside and meet a few people. And then we meet this little blonde-haired nipper. I think he got the part through Blue Peter, I seem to remember.
Totally Doctor Who show.
Totally Doctor Who, that was it. I remember it. Anyway, so he's, he's a guide who takes them through the under sort of thing of this place. He's looking for his family. I think he finds them quite quickly, actually. The doctor opens up a door and nearly falls down a rather large sort of hole, is it? A large drop, shall we say. And then Yana had heard somewhere along the line that the doctor was a doctor who was there.
Master.
And gets all excited and goes up to Captain Jack and said, "Doctor!" And don't know him. Very quickly the doctor gets roped into helping Yana figure
Master.
Out how to get the spaceship going again. Yes!
Where they open that door and someone almost falls through. Actually, someone almost really did when they were filming it. And unfortunately, this is where I hate the fact that we only have the Doctor Who Confidential cutdowns. Because in the original Confidential, they have a whole section on opening that door and filming it.
Ah, thank you, Kirby. They acquaint themselves and have a bit of a geek off. And then, of course, there's talk of the hand, because now Martha finds the hand in the jar.
As one would.
Yeah, because Jack's obviously, she's poking through Jack's stuff, and
not for the first time.
Hey! What an introduction! Just barge in, I should have a sound effect of the door going. Actually, now you've come to mention it, I did actually find a brilliant sound effect, Ben. No, you'll have to redo that, but I'm not going to edit it, but it'll sound really good. I'd put a lot of effort into this. I don't know where I put it now. Bear with.
just let me know when you're ready, mate.
I will do, yeah. Because I think it would
count you in.
Oh, come on, Pooter. I did a lot of effort. I found that I've been doing lots of videotape conversions from VHS to digital, and I've found this sound, that's a brilliant sound. I love that. And then I find that I don't know where I put it.
We can find it.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, when you've found your sound and all this has played out so smoothly. I do actually have a quote, so you have, and it's a good one.
It's so, a good one. Right, okay. To,
just to make you all aware of the surprise coming up.
Okay.
Okay, all right.
I'll have a look on my folder, I mean my main folder, see if I saved it there.
This anticipation. I mean,
I can't remember everything now. I do try.
Turns up and suddenly we're not slick anymore. Mm. What's going on?
I mean, Adam, have I got time to go to work and back, or will you have to be done in a minute?
I mean, go to work and back. I saved it somewhere.
I'm not working again till the 3rd of January.
Oh, carry on. I'll find it later. Anyway, yes, and Ben Shoveler.
I'm happily drinking my own internal milk.
Oh, yeah. Ew.
Why am I not surprised?
That was one of my possible quotes.
Oh, was it? What a surprise.
Oh, I'm so glad you didn't.
Don't worry, Ben. We haven't got too far into the episode. You won't be surprised.
No, I can tell because I'm half an hour late, so you're probably about three scenes in. The three scenes and 95 pedanticisms from Kirby. Yeah.
No, more than that, actually. Never mind.
Happy Christmas, Kirby.
Happy Christmas.
Who else is on?
Hang on, you're supposed to Happy Christmas, Kirby. Happy Christmas, Kyoko. So this is Christmas. But that's how you're supposed to do it, but never mind, don't worry about it.
And what have
that's
you
it.
Done? I was literally just singing that in the car with the daughter as I was dropping our own. We had some brilliant Christmas songs on, singing our little hearts out. It was lovely, and that was one of them. So I'm in a really good, really festive mood now. So anyway, back to Utopia, which is brilliant.
Right. Right, I'm still looking for that file. Oh, got this one. Which I thought we could use when introducing the sponsors later on in the episode.
I think mine was better.
Yeah. I'll save that one now. What did I get up to? That was from an old file from 2001.
Let's all go to the lobby.
I save everything. It's really quite useful,
Let's
you know.
Let's all go to the lobby.
All right, thank you. Right, the way we get up. Oh, yeah, so she finds...
We're falling down holes. The hand, but of not course. Falling down holes and going through doors. And then, Kirby, you made a comment about the door.
What's this one do?
Good morning, madam. Can
I... Oh, that's the 40 towers.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Oh, that's from communication problems.
I don't think I'm going to
It's lovely. It's just a bit buttery with my skin.
So Martha's found the hand in the jar, and then we have a little flashback to how the hand ended up in the jar, because some strange man found the doctor's hand on the floor and then preserved it. And there's more conversations about, you know, I think there's a point in which... Yana sort of explains where he came from and that he was found as a child and in a mysterious place.
Where did he come from? Got an eye joke.
Very good. Yes, no.
I just got
distracted by these Fawlty Tower quotes.
It's a bit buttery for my skin.
No, but some of these are actually named. Oh, look at this one.
Distracted yourself.
Dr. Price is standing in doorway.
Dr. Price. Right, so anyway, what I get out, let's do Doctor Who first. Sorry. Of course, they're trying to get this ship moving.
Because it's gone well since I've turned up.
No, yeah. And Yana keeps on having these funny turns where he hears this sort of Ringo Starr going in his head.
Did Ringo Starr just turn up? I'm sure I heard a beat that he once did.
Who?
Ringo Starr. Did he just turn up on the podcast?
Yeah, I just said that.
Yeah, and we had Ringo Starr on the podcast earlier. Sorry.
and then
sitting there waiting to play his drums.
The toothy people are standing in a very choreographed formation. There's this rather mysterious truck. Bearing in mind, like I said, this is set billions of years into the future. Sort of is let into the compound.
What's that noise?
That's I think that's Ben doing some Ringo Starr stuff. But one of these toothy people has managed to get inside the compound, and she's sort of just snarling and looking fierce. and waiting for a moment to do to wreak havoc while the Doctor and Yana fiddle with stuff. They find the TARDIS, and that gets brought in rather conveniently to the lab. And what's her name? Martha and Chanto get friendly, and Chanto swears.
I
thought I might have to bleep that out. Yes, Mary?
Martha's a bad influence.
Yes, she is. Let's move through that. That was a bit pointless conversation. Padding conversation, that was. And then there's somebody has to go into this reactor thing and move some isotopes. What on earth is that me?
Well, it wouldn't be any of us.
Yes, really.
Oh, for goodness sake. That's why just a business text. Right, then, where do we get up to? And then, just as these isotopes are being moved around, a toothy woman reaps her havoc, shall we say, and a long-term results in the bloke getting sort of vaporized, basically. Then Jack decides to kill himself again. And love the way the Doctor's, he obviously falls dead on the floor, and the Doctor just stand there with his hands in his pockets while everybody else is panicking. And then when he's alive again, he decides, because he can't die, to go and do the isotope job himself.
Yeah, we just happen to have the convenient need to go underneath the rocket to do the repair there, where unless you're immortal, you'll dissolve.
Yes, something like that.
The problem is, he's in there, and he should be dying and coming back to life. He shouldn't just be standing there like he's impervious to death.
Exactly.
And I think the other thing that needs to be pointed out about that is that they missed a real opportunity, because normally at that point, John Barrowman would have his shirt off before you can say John.
Yeah. Well, he was trying.
Well,
he did undress partially.
Yeah, but he didn't get his lovely board out.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously, any opportunity.
Because whilst Jack is busy faffing around all these controllers, the Doctor's at the window sort of having a conversation with him about, you know, why he left him and why they don't really want... He finds him a bit of an aberration because of his... You know,
it's a nice conversation.
It's a nice conversation, but he does explain it to him. And, of course, we have a little flashback to Rose having the time vortex inside us that were getting pestered.
You need to turn your phone off or something.
I mean, it's so unprofessional.
All right, I had it on because I was waiting for you, Ben. I didn't know whether you were going to message me before you arrived.
Oh, that's really professional, then.
So, anyway, Martha has a conversation with Yana, and for some reason... I wish she hadn't had that conversation, because I don't think there would have been any problems if she kept her gob shut. She gets rather excited about the fob watch that he starts referring
yes.
to.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think if she'd sort of just not started that conversation, we wouldn't have had the last three episodes of the series, to be fair. But nevertheless, she does. And, of course, she makes a big deal. And, of course, what I like about this is she's making a big deal about this fob wash. Or then she decides, that's not important. Yeah, lovely, very nice. You see Chanto's face, who she does know about the fob watch. She must have been with Yana for quite a while, even before
18 that. Years. And, it was
the master when they first got together. And Martha...
She's only been with him for 18 years. He's obviously older than 18.
Indeed.
Yeah, but she's only been with him for 18 years, and he's obviously lots older than that. And if he's never known that he was a Time Lord, she wouldn't know either.
I'm not sure.
Exactly.
I get the impression that she knew all along that the Master was hiding as Yana.
Well, you must have been watching something different than Mary and I were.
That's right.
Whatever.
Maybe it was lost across the Atlantic.
Anyway, Martha runs through the corridors and says to the Doctor, "There's a man in there with a fob watch just like yours." And the Doctor says he can't be. And then, of course, while all that's happening, the Master opens the watch. And what gives me, you know, this chameleon arch thing changes them into humans physically and mentally. And it's really painful. It doesn't appear to be painful to do it the other way around. Because they just sort of change and they're all right.
Master?
Oh, here we go. Yes?
It's a science fiction fantasy.
Oh, God's sake. Jeez.
Just in case you need reminding.
Alan T. Butcher says, "Not slick anymore, lol." detect a degree of sarcasm there. But never mind. Right. And of course,
they're all over excited because you came on and that was it.
Brandamore says maybe Yana was just trying to fob the Doctor off. Hang on, which one would you do for that one?
Let's restart the podcast.
Here we go. Let's do this one. Right. So when, of course, Yana gets all his masterness back, we've got lots of little explanations that we've been given as to, you know, who Yana was, the, you know, you are not alone and stuff like that. And I love as Jack returns round, he just does it with his eyes. He's the master. That sort of look he gives to the camera.
That is marvelous acting.
Well, he's pretty good. I think he got knighted for acting.
Yes.
Especially his eye acting.
Yeah. And he starts, and he slightly messed his hair up a little, but he starts sort of being a bit angry and starts throwing some switches. And Chanto says, no, please don't, and all this stuff. And then she points a gun at him. Oh. And he threatens her with a sparkler. Brandishes his sparkler at her. And then shoves the sparkler at her and might have hurt her, but she could have shot him in all that time anyway. So she falls.
She's in love with him.
Apparently dead.
She's in love with him.
Mm. Then the master caresses the Doctor's quivering hand. Because all this stuff's going off. Because the watch fob watch has gone off. It's made the Doctor's severed hand quiver. God's sake, what?
2 days before this was filmed, before they started filming this episode,
David Tennant's hand got jumped off.
They recast the hand.
What?
The hand that they've been using in Torchwood was just from a prop maker's hand. Right. And when they
found a real donor.
They have auditions.
David Tennant was thinking, oh, that guy's hand is a lot larger than my hand. So maybe you'd better recast it. And so they did.
I really wish at this point, I really wish I could remember Joey from Friends' song about this hand is your hand, this hand is my hand.
Oh, Kirby, that's probably one of the most bizarre facts you've ever pointed out on this show. And there's been some bizarre ones.
Someone else's body part is bigger than their own.
Yes, Mary.
Master?
Yes.
I mentioned the same thing 9 years ago.
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, God.
Lovely to see we're still using the same material.
You weren't on 9 years ago.
Yes, I was.
I probably listened to it then, Kirby. I was an avid listener.
Anyway, the Doctor's left.
You were off and on, but for some reason you missed that particular one.
Lucky you, Ben.
We had Adam, me, Mary, Reese, Robert, Liz, Wendell, and Wes.
Thank you. Where do we get up to on the feed? We got Brandon Moore says, was it David Tennant's hand twin? And then he said, damn, Ben beat me to it. So anyway, the master is now, he's, because the Doctor's left the TARDIS open, or somehow he's got in there, is feeding lots of cable, detaching lots of cables the Doctor had been using. And while he does that, Chanto shoots him and he falls against the TARDIS in a bit of pain, but gets into it, and then he sort of he locks the Doctor out by flicking the sort of catch on the
killed by an insect.
The little switch.
And then, of course, if a Doctor can be young, what?
Can I? Sorry, just needed to interrupt at that point.
Yes.
48 hours before they filmed that scene, the lock was recast.
Nice one. Of course, he's saying, well, if the Doctor can be young, I can be young. And then there's a wonderful regeneration scene.
Yay.
And, of course, all havoc's going off. They're getting attacked. Like, pardon?
Master, like, as you mentioned 9 years ago, his eyes, John Sim's eyes, are like a fruit machine, or what we would call slot machine.
Yeah. I forgot what I was going to say now.
Master.
Oh, God, yes.
During the chase scene where the future kind are chasing the Doctor and Martha and Jack down the corridor,
The shoes were recast.
There was a little bit of an accident, and one of the main characters, one of the main
extras,
people who's a future kind, got accidentally stabbed through the face.
Oh God, nice one! Ooh, they recast the face.
I wasn't expecting that sentence.
he was stabbed. He had to go to the emergency room, or whatever you call an emergency room.
Emergency room. I've got a sound effect for that.
Yeah. And he was there in full future kind makeup. and then he shows up on set again the next day. Oh, okay, I'm fine. I've got some stitches.
Thank you. Anyway, the master has fallen onto the floor while doing regenerating and screaming out in pain, etc., etc., and then jumps around the TARDIS all excited, a bit like the Doctor would, actually, and asks the Doctor to call him by his name, which is rather cool. And off he goes, leaving them behind, being attacked from outside by all these future kind people. Great cliffhanger. That is the end of the episode. We do see a little preview of what might be happening in the next episode, but of course this is actually a three-parter. We should really be doing the whole lot, but I feel we can encapsulate this episode on its own.
I've not known any Doctor Who podcast that ever actually puts these together as a three. Yes, they are the three.
Oh, geez.
But everyone always reviews them the way that we're doing.
Yes, I know, it doesn't matter. That was 30 seconds of my life I'll never get back again.
Then
and recast it.
Right, where do we get up to? Right then, so
it's
I was
only if
say...
it's Pastor of Paris.
Yes. Right. Ian Kirk says, "I recognise the hand from the Adams family," and then Brandon Moore says, "Was it Alicia's?" She had its hand in something to do with this show. Right, so Utopia, yes. It's a fab episode. I there are bits I don't like about it. I don't like the future kind thing. I don't like the guns being like they are now rather than future guns, because it's the future. I like sort of the fact it's shot at night. I don't like the fangs. There's bits and bobs I don't like. It doesn't look like a very futuristic place until they're sort of inside the compound and stuff like that. But I like the dramatic scenes within it in regards to, I love the fact that Captain Jack's back, the banter between, because obviously Tennant's Doctor hasn't actually done any scenes with Barrowman's character at all, but you would imagine they were people that have known each other a long time. I know they did that because they're actors, but it works really well. There's a lot of chemistry between the two on screen. And of course, Derek Jacobi's is a bit of a British icon and world icon acting wise, so it was a bit of stunt casting and a great actor to play the Master, and of course still playing the Master on Big Finish, or the War Master as he's called now. But on the whole, it's a really fab sort of episode that leads us into the finale. So there's a lot in it, a lot more in it I love than I don't love. And about the Chanto thing, I was only joking at the Chanto thing. I think that was unique. I thought that that was a unique bit of dialogue for a character in any science fiction genre. Very, very clever indeed. And beautifully acted by the young lady who played her. So, Kirby, what did you think?
Later comes back as a soothsayer.
Find him attractive.
Was she attractive? I don't know. I couldn't see under all the makeup.
She comes back in turn left.
Oh, yes, she does. So, she is quite attractive then. Kirby, what did you think?
One of my all-time favorite stories.
Ben, what did you... Carry on. I'm only joking.
I overlook all these little problems that you have with it. And
so
and
did I. God's
sake. They had to put in the future kind because... I keep trying to pronounce... I keep going German with that. I keep wanting to say future kin. they had to put in some sort of monster just because you have to have a monster, and that was the monster. It's the detail... In the corridors, every single one of those little cubicles with a family in it is decorated differently, and they're carrying water. It looks like a refugee camp. I love the whole. I love going that they're back in a quarry. Captain Jack is just one of my favorite characters of all time. I can't fault it for anything.
Hey. Thank you. Ben, what did you think?
Yeah, What's Not to Love. That was a brilliant episode. I watched it about 5 weeks ago when we were watching the one we did before that one. In that run, I sat down and I watched about five or six episodes in an evening, and this was one of the ones. It's just brilliant. Just leads into the finale so well. Derek Jacobi's fantastic.
He is.
As Kirby says, all those little things that you were nitpicking on just doesn't matter.
You're right. It doesn't matter.
It's an absolute bella. One of the best.
Thank you, Ben. Debbie, what did you think?
There's not much really to add to it because it's a great episode. And Derek Jacobi's obviously big hero, wonderful icon for us. And I just love more than anything what's evolved from this episode. Obviously, you've got the Master's return, but also you've got the War Master. And they're some of the best big finish. They're so good. And I just think this whole episode, you're bringing together a bit of explanation and closure for Jack, who's obviously gone through the whole of the first season of Torchwood, and it's just a great, instead of it just being a filler episode for the grand finale. I know it's leading up to the grand finale, and yes, as you say, you could count it as one of the last three altogether, but I think this is just a great little standalone. But lead on as well. You could, as you'd said, we've watched it separate to it. And I just think the costumes are brilliant. The ideas behind what happens to the human waste when there's nowhere else to go is a great thing to think about. And, you know, where do you go from there? And it's
Margate. Margate.
I suppose so. I've been there.
Well, you know then.
Yeah. I really enjoy this story. This episode is terrific, and it's got a good place in my heart, this one, definitely, for what it brings to the table.
Thank you, Debbie. What do you think about it then, Mary?
Blitz.
Careful with your throat. Brace yourselves.
It really is a hot mess of an episode. Ooh. There's so much in it. It's almost like Flux in that there is just so much crammed in, and so much of it just doesn't make any sense. How do those human or future kind, how do they live in a world that has no light, no stars? How do they eat? You know, how are the people on the ship, especially
science fiction fantasy TV program,
who drinks coffee, and this is like how many thousands of years that they since they've been stranded there, you know, but he's still able to drink coffee. Who knows where that grows? there's just so much throughout, you know, that I could pick on, but the director Graham Harper has it moving along at such a clip that you don't have time to wonder these things. And the fact that they did not plan on having Derek Jacobi be in this, because the character was going to it's somebody who is here for only one episode. So it was going to be, you know, if they could get somebody recognizable, it would be nice. But then Derek Jacobi, which came about as a meal that he went out with Julie Gardner and Phil Collinson, which some of you may recognize as a producer of Coronation Street.
Yes.
So they spent the whole dinner, Jacobi and Collinson, talking about Coronation Street, because Derek Jacobi, is a close follower of it. And then that was the dinner that landed him in the role. And so when they suddenly had him, it's like, oh my God, we got to rewrite everything. So they really expanded his scenes, which meant a lot of stuff that they had filmed, while they were trying to land somebody, they had to just cut out. So there's a lot of stuff that's missing. There's jumps in logic and all that, because of him, but because he was in it and they made such a big deal about him being in it, nobody cared about the story. Everybody just wanted to see Derek, you call him Jacobi.
Yeah. His name is.
So he's a distraction. The pace of the thing is a distraction, all taking our minds off of, you know, like, well, wait a minute, that can't work, or, oh, that doesn't make any sense, or how do they do that? The end result is a very exciting, compelling, wonderfully shot. Davies really did not want to use much CG in this. So pretty much everything we're seeing is real. Only the things that they could not possibly do with, like the rocket, when they discover the rocket.
And the regeneration.
And the regeneration and that. But outside of that, it was, you know, Davies wanted it all to be as real as possible. So, I mean, overall, it works. It definitely works. But you can't dwell on it for too long. And I agree that it's a standalone. And there's so much in this that would have pulled in people who were followers of the Doctor Who universe, because there are references back to so many things in this that, you know, it's like everybody, people seeing it for the first time, people who have followed Doctor Who for years, you know, they all got what they wanted out of this. So, yeah, it's a very successful episode.
Oh, well, thank you, Mary.
People have been following Doctor Who for years, really?
No need to get petulant and start slamming doors around, Ben. Right then. We'll move on to Kirby's little section, which is called Feedback. I presume...
Darn, you wouldn't let me find a better picture of the Idiot's Lantern scaffold, which I was looking for.
My, we don't let this go, do we?
No. Well, there's this short lapse in conversation. Have you talked about the end of the Flux yet?
I have. Would you like to put your ten penneth in? The end wasn't very good.
Episode one was good. Episode two was good. Episode three was confusing. Episode four was all right. Episode five was good. Episode six, I was absolutely lost and completely lost interest.
Yes.
I thought it was absolute, I'll use a word, like bobbins. It didn't finish well. The three doctors, what? I mean, it was just like, we've written a really good story. How do we finish it? Absolutely no idea. Let's ask a two-year-old. Ah, great idea. It was so disappointing. It was exactly how I thought it would be. Yeah. You know how I love, yeah, how I've, you know, yeah. And I was really impressed by four out of the six episodes. Really, even at one point, I was even thinking I could get used to watching this Jodie lad. Mm. But then,
just typical Chibnall. The end bit
was just absolute. It was absolute mess. I mean, oh god. So yeah. Very disappointed with the ending.
Okay. Kirby?
I'm ready whenever you're ready.
Well, I'm ready.
Robert Wince Jr. says, one of the best masters next to Roger D. Mm. Too bad it was too short.
Yeah.
Has done Big Finish audio, I do believe.
Indeed.
Oh, he does, yeah.
Yep.
Oh, and may I interject something here?
No.
Mary's saying the thing about Coronation Street reminded me that in The Confidential, that they do the cut down version, they do talk to Sir Derek. I won't try and pronounce the last name because obviously
I give us a third pronunciation of the episode.
anyway, he
Deco Bye.
He said that he has been a lifelong fan of two TV shows, Coronation Street and Doctor Who, and he always wanted to be in both of them. And at the time that he did the Confidential, he was going, here I am in one of them, and now I just need to hear from Corey. So I don't know if he's ever been in Coronation Street.
Well, he's definitely talked to the producer, so you know, you'd think.
Okay, Neil James, Utopia, show me your teeth. This story isn't as strong as the previous two, and its function is really just to move a few chess pieces into place for the big upcoming two-part finale. But that being said, it's still bloody brilliant and has such a classic feel to it. It's good to have Captain Jack back, but I have to say, much like Rose, I preferred his dynamic with Eccleston. director Graham Harper. Oh, that's right. Graham Harper was back. That's fantastic. Yeah. Director Graham Harper directed a great chase over an alien world back on Androzani Minor, and he does it again very well here. There is some gorgeous music and wonderful makeup. Chanto is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Professor Yana and Chanto are such a charming double act. I could watch a whole episode of them having a chat. Derek Jacobi's performance.
Even you can't do it. Must be an American thing.
Is simply masterful. Sorry.
Jacobi.
And despite only technically playing the evil Time Lord for just over 5 minutes, he's easily my favorite modern era master. I'm not a fan of John Sims' opening moments, but that final 10 minutes is so exciting it hardly matters. Graham Harper is a legend.
He is.
And this is 4 stars out of 5.
Thank you. Oh, you talked about the episode, not me. Sorry, carry on.
Andy Nunny says, "Hey, Kirby, guess what I have to do?" To which
Drink
I
wine.
Responded,
"Fall asleep." Oh, sorry, carry on.
I responded with a animated GIF of a monkey ironing. And I was in Walmart when I saw that and decided to put that. Dave Cooper. Oh, it's unusual for Dave to comment.
Wow.
Rather
honored.
Yes.
Nobody keeps himself to himself.
Lots to love about this episode, which in a way was part one of a 3-part story. As Robert said, a great version of the Master. Robert Wentz Jr. I do like this first story in the regeneration of the Master. The interesting part of Utopia is the Doctor seems to go into the past and he couldn't do or change anything even if he tries. Because in our time, back on Earth, the Master becomes PM. We also have the talk between the Doctor and Jack about what Rose did to Jack.
Sorry, I found the sound effect. I found it.
That was Boris Johnson trying to sneakily get away from all the problems in the cabinet.
No, I found it on a video. It was literally filmed as somebody opened the door up. I thought, blimmin' it, that's a good creak. Sorry, but what's his name in Kirby, isn't it? But that could be Ben's welcoming sound effect.
Creak 4 out of 5.
Great attitude, love it.
Robert Wentz Jr. also reminds us it's Tim Drury's birthday today.
Oh, we've already done that bit.
Birthday, Tim Drury.
Tim Drury's birthday.
It's
his birthday.
Captain Kirk's script. I had to hurry to try and find some pictures of the scaffolding. I will find a better one of the idiot lantern scaffold.
But please take your time, Kirby.
Could things not get any more bizarre on a podcast that's totally audio? Somebody looking for a picture of scaffolding.
I thought I was into the wrong podcast when I heard Kirby say that to start with.
That's all of what's on Facebook.
Oh, is it? Oh, I was expecting there to be some more, so I could pad out a bit more.
Well, what I was going to say, Adam, at this point was if anyone who's watching the live feed would like to comment on some scaffolding there.
Remember, you had got some scaffolding around the house.
We'd love to read out your scaffold comments. Maybe scaffolding you've seen around a historic building. Maybe it was particularly well dressed. Maybe there's some scaffolding you've seen around a house that you thought, yeah, that actually looks okay.
I've seen some scaffolding, Ben. I saw some scaffolding when I was in London around the Elizabeth Tower.
That would be a good. Well, Adam, if you'd like to add that onto the Facebook feed, then we can read that out later. Don't try and jump the kids.
I can't find my Idiot's Lantern DVD.
What's that got to do with it?
So that I can get the good picture of the scaffold.
And if anyone has seen Kirby's copy of the Idiot's Lantern DVD, please let us know on the Facebook feed. We'll read your comment down later.
Anyway,
back to you.
Back to Tim Drury's birthday. Sadly, the only
it's his birthday.
It's here we
it's
go.
His birthday. Happy it's only Tim Drury's birthday. Happy
birthday to you.
My birthday.
Happy birthday, Tim. I have to cut it off there because it said "utthi" afterwards. There we go, a special little rendition.
Ben can do my birthday song, that's fine.
When's it your birthday?
Tuesday.
She keeps on banging on about it, Ben. That's the second time she's mentioned it.
It's gonna be Deb's birthday on Tuesday.
It's my birthday a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, happy birthday for a couple of weeks ago, Kirby.
Because it's Deb's birthday. She's gonna eat cake. And if she does, then we're all gonna break in her house and eat the cake she hasn't eaten. Because it's Debbie's birthday on Tuesday. Because it's Debbie's birthday on Tuesday.
Happy 50th birthday, Deb. I got a Christmas card. It's behind me. It's been on the show from the Staggering Stories team. Other podcasts mentioned, but they sent me a card, so I'm going to mention it. Look, and then our viewers can see card from Staggering Stories. It's actually signed by the Staggering Stories team. Look at that. Isn't that cool?
He's got a card.
Hang on.
My nephew's birthday on Christmas.
It says to Adam. See, to Adam from the start. Not the rest of the 20 megabyte team.
Because we don't know them and they don't know us.
Well, I think they do. They were in the audience when we did the live at Fantasy
Club. Oh, was that them? Hello, people. God, they were lovely.
Yes, they were. What else were we going to do?
I'm massively offended they didn't put my name in your card.
I also got this card here.
We're finished. We're done. Me and that lot.
I've got this card here, which is a picture of a bull. I don't know what he's trying to imply, but it's from the Nunny family.
Have my name on it, because if it doesn't, I'm not interested.
Oh, Ben.
You know what? I've got two Christmas cards this year, so far, on the 19th of December.
I'll tell you what, I'll write your name in all of ours.
If you wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
Talking of Andy Nunny.
Staggering Stories one yet.
I'm going to share the time. It's 1:30 on Sunday afternoon. I'm just doing this before we take up to see Father Christmas. Fortunately, we are still able to do that. It's a church. It's supposed to be a messy church, do, but because of the new restrictions that are coming in, it's going to be 10 minutes in and out, and that's it, unfortunately. But as Kirby was delighted to see, I did half it yesterday. I was watching Utopia, and I'm not going to give you a list of my laundry this time because I thoroughly enjoyed the episode instead. And it's a good start. Actually put me in mind of Monty Python's The Meaning of Life with a man being chased, and I think anyone who's seen that film will probably know what I mean, but I won't go into details.
You know, somebody says it's at the end of it.
But I'm sure we've seen that sort of thing before, you know, with somebody being chased, and then we get the Doctor going away from Cardiff, and Jack running. Did the Doctor actually see Jack on the screen or not? Because I thought he did, and locked him out deliberately.
He did, yes.
Not quite clear on that point. But then Jack has to hang on to the outside of TARDIS forever and a day. And then during the course of it, twice he dies and he's now realised he's immortal. We get the reference to the face of Bo. So again, we're building up the Jack story. And a good bit of byplay between the Doctor and Jack as to, you know, what their relationship is and how the Doctor treats other people. And I think really the green-eyed envy from... I've gone completely blank of the companion. It'll come to me. Martha, thank you. So I'm sure somebody shouted Martha at the
thing. I would have edited that, but Andy.
It was quite apparent. I mentioned this off. He came elsewhere later on in the story when she was discussing with the Chan Ho lady or whatever. That was irritating. That was. I'm not surprised that Martha got rid of her. But the concept... bit like one of the Tom Baker stories. I've gone completely blank. It's the one with the Marsh People where they pick a Patrick and it will come to me in a moment.
Full circle.
I'm sure it will. I'm sure somebody shouts at the big microphone again. This is what it's called, Nunny, but you know what I mean. With a spaceship that can't take off because, again, it's just not ready. This time, the previous time, is because they didn't know how to fly. This one, because they just got the professor doesn't know how to power it. Professor doesn't know how to power it. And, yeah, the Doctor was sort of saying, I haven't got a clue, and then sort of just bodges it. Typical who, isn't it? And then suddenly Martha seems to be quite expert at running things, and Jack and the Doctor doing the lawn. So, yeah, now, you've got the fifth columnist inside, the lady with the teeth, and we're showing your teeth. That's an excellent piece, that was. What was she trying to achieve? Presuming she was going to open up the spaceship and let her companions in. And of course, she got, presumably she got shot, and we don't actually see her die. We just see the gunshots going in, and she's buggering up the power supply. And then Jack obviously goes in and saves the day by the fact that, again, he can't die. He must have put suntan there as well. And John Bannerman, well, not quite getting all his kit off, but showing his predilection for removing his clothing, which I think we all know is quite a tendency of John, Mr. Bannerman, yes, to remove his clothing at the least opportunity. I'd rather see other people do it, but that's my taste anyway.
But of course,
the big reveal was that the master was in fact the professor. When you saw the watch, Martha got it straight away. And one hundred people thinking, you know, oh, who's he going to be? Is it a different incarnation of the Doctor? Is it Romana? Which I bet somebody thought that
Wake
at the
time.
Wife up. There probably were people who guessed it was the master, but I think the way the master came back, got shot, regenerated, so presumably, you know, he's got a complete life cycle of regeneration again. So I wonder what number we're up to in his new cycle then. We'd be interested to work out. But interestingly, he could fly the Doctor's thighs, or at least we assume he can, because you obviously don't know what's happened and when he goes. The cliffhanger is the TARDIS about to take off, and the Doctor's trying to stop it taking off, and then being left in there. But this episode really did rattle along very well. It's building up, obviously, to this, the Master Trilogy, I think you call it.
Yeah.
It sets the new Master up really well. I mean, Dawn Deck came and said, oh, it's Derek Jacobi, look, Jack, it's that one of the famous actors in the world. That watched it on and off a bit, you know, I think he seemed to enjoy it, but I think he got a bit overwhelmed by it. But it does do a lot of going. It is quite violent, I suppose, with them going to try to eat people. But all in all, good episode. So, if I can wish you all very Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, hopefully 2022, we're right.
What happened there?
Oh, it just kind of stopped.
It's kind of stopped, yes. I don't know if it's an internet thing, but yeah. Nope, it's not, that's it, doesn't want to play anymore. But anyway, thanks Andy, and thank you for my card. Very abrupt ending to that one. Right then, Mary, so you can do Robert. Not in the biblical sense, obviously.
Filth, honestly.
Oh, okay, all right, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, he says, I'm going to have to give things a miss. I'm fighting to stay awake. Just a thought.
Like most of our listeners, funny enough.
Just a thought on Flux. What a mess. Think it's going to take a few watches to actually work out all that went on. Frustrating. And on Utopia, quite enjoyable. A shame we only had a little of Jacobi's master here, though. Thanks to Big Finish, we can enjoy more of him as the master. I've had enough of Martha, though. Looking forward to Donna and company. That's Robert.
Thank you, Mary.
It wasn't very long.
Eloquent. I'm glad there was something for you to read, because I knew we didn't quite have enough blurb to go around, so that's really good. Thank you, Robert. Hope you get better soon, and Happy New Year, Christmas, etc., etc.
Yes, Robert. Hope you get well soon.
We also have this.
Chanto, though. Good evening, 20 Megabyte Podcasters. It's Mr. M here with some audio feedback on Utopia by Rusty Davis himself.
Rusty?
It's been a long time since I've done audio feedback for you. I'm actually married now.
Yes, I know what you've been up to, mate.
Very exciting. Although we were hoping to travel to Germany this coming week for the Christmas holidays, and that is now no longer possible. So, a bit depressed about that. I'm looking forward to listening to your podcast recording this evening. I hope you do your best to entertain and cheer me up a bit.
I don't normally try that, but never mind.
This is a good story, though. I remember the sheer adrenaline thrill as a child when I realised this isn't going to be wrapped up in 45 minutes, and Oh my god, everything's so exciting. This is a three-part story. Oh my god. Add into that the brilliant last 5 minutes, the revelation of Professor Yana being the master, the whole Fob Watch reveal, you are not alone. Really good. Although you can see in retrospect how a lot of this was not necessarily planned out from the start, and a lot of it is just Rusty Davis hammering square pegs into round holes, it still looks very beautiful when it's constructed. Jack is great in this episode. He gets on really well with David Tennant, so much so that you forget that this is the first time they've actually been
in
a story with each other.
You did.
I really like Derek Huckabee both as the lovable, cuddly Professor Yana and also as the cold, killer of a master. And as everyone has surely already said, great shame we didn't get more of him. This is a fantastic opener to a three-part story and is the best episode of these three parts. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but the boy who plays the young boy who's showing everyone around. Crete! That's the name of the actor. No, Crete is the name of the character. They don't get actor. I think it might be John Bell, but this is just coming off the top of my head, so that might be incorrect. Who is now an Outlander, if you've ever watched that. That just makes me smile every single time I watch Outlander. I just think, it's that little boy from Utopia, but actually grown up. He didn't get sliced up and put inside a toddler vein.
Yes, he did.
Spoiler. But yeah, it's a really good episode. I like the tone, I like the atmosphere. I like Hermits United. I love Chantho. I like Show Me Your Teeth, and I just love the excitement of that ending. I like the way the Next Time trailer doesn't show anything of the Doctor, Martha or Jack. In some ways, Martha is a little bit sidelined in this episode, but she gets some good stuff in the next two, so that's all fair enough. While I'm here, I'll just comment briefly on what I thought of Flux. Really good episodes in there. Some really poor stuff too. Overall, I thought that this was some of the best Chibnall Doctor Who that we've had, which is probably the most average Doctor Who that we've had in a long time. But if all three series had been that good, then I wouldn't have as much to complain about. So.
No.
A tentative thumbs up from me.
Thank you.
So, who knows when you're going to say next week, but
week after next, not recording, I believe. Yeah.
February, we're back, you hardly seem to even bother anymore, Adam. Come on, get your finger out. No, that's a bit mean. What I mean to say is Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to all of you at home, I think.
Merry Christmas.
Anyway.
Thank you, Brandon. Right then.
Master. I was just looking up John Bell, and I didn't realize he also played the son of Bard the Bowman in two of the Hobbit movies, and he's also not credited in Wikipedia for his voice, which is definitely used in the last episode of this series, because he has to say the whole business about the sky is made of diamonds.
Oh, yes, indeed. Right then. Where did I get up to? Something slightly alarming has occurred. Patty Tiller, who did make a comment on the live feed earlier on, has reacted to the live feed itself with an angry emoji. So that was about 54 minutes ago. So I hope it wasn't anything I said.
No, it was probably something I said.
Has anyone commented on scaffolding yet?
Maybe I misread what he said, or she said, I beg your pardon. It's difficult to tell from the emoji. Sorry, Patty. Right, I'm sure I said something wrong. I normally do. So, well, we've got another bit of...
Say things that warrant hate emoji, angry emoji.
It wasn't hate, it was angry. It's probably me. I'm very good at upsetting people.
It'd be nice to know what he's reacting to.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that she's reacting to it as Patty.
She's
book,
sorry.
Well, we don't get a lot of ladies commenting.
Well, not to react to that.
Or just be on the safe side of they, because obviously. You didn't. Anyway, so let's do another bit of feedback. I've got I've got slightly distracted by that. I'm going to blame Kirby. Kirby, do you mind taking the blame for that one, just in case?
Yes, please, please, sir. May I have another?
No, I mean, for Patty getting upset.
Yes, Kirby, bend over. Here comes another.
Kirby fetish, honestly.
Hello, Thornton McWatt Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hi, Ian.
Good. Utopia by Russell T. Davies. The end of the universe looks like a quarry. In the classic series, the master was usually disguised. Now, with Chameleon Arch technology, he doesn't even know he is the master. Jack is back, as well as the master. You can't have an insect as big as Chantor. Chan. But it is a fantasy science fiction TV show. Though. Chantor made a heroic sacrifice, killing Yana, and avoiding going to Earth, which would be awkward. That spare hand will come in handy.
Oh, God.
An interesting story. Well made. And Derek Jacobi was good. I did not have time to see The Sound of Drums. The UK having a Prime Minister who can't be trusted. Could that happen? Doctor Who Flux is behind us.
Pardon?
Oh, yes it is. The Flux has too many characters. If I wanted too many characters, I would try to learn Chinese.
Oh,
John Bishop has a wide acting range. Some bishops just move diagonally. Where is Dan living now, since his house is pocket size? Chibno? Russell T. Davies had a story where Donna's granddad watched the universe going out. Davies might be left to reset the universe if Chibnall doesn't do it. There is a Facebook page which you can join. I think Facebook is now called Symbol. No, that is Prince. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian.
Thank you, Ian.
Brandon said something on the comment feed, but I don't quite understand. Seems a bit mean, but shall I read it anyway?
Yeah, go for it.
It says, I found a copy of the Idiot's DVD. I mean Kirby's DVD.
Oh.
Oh.
Ow.
Them's fighting words.
I'm going to put my glasses upside down because of that. Cause I'm a...
Oh dear, it's serious.
Right then, so we got... I think Mrs. Melrose has some blurb to dictate from some people.
Some people, yeah. Hang on a minute. Captain Jack is in Cardiff awaiting the Doctor. He knows the Doctor will eventually have to land there to refuel with the Rift Energy. Sorry, since when has the TARDIS needed to refuel? We don't recall this happening at all during the last 40-odd years of the programme. After the TARDIS is refuelled, the Doctor sees Jack running towards the TARDIS and he quickly dematerialises the TARDIS. Jack leaps onto the outside of the TARDIS and they fly to the end of the universe with Jack outside. The unkillable Jack once again dies and comes back to life, but only after Martha has tried the kiss of life. Lucky boy. He joins them as they start to explore the planet called Malcacero. Like that, right?
Well done.
The Doctor, Jack and Martha encounter Padra, a human running from the cannibalistic future kind. The TARDIS crew help Padra reach a missile solo and a rocket intended to transport the last of the human race to Utopia. This is where they meet old Professor Yana, played by the great assistant great actor Derek Jacobi, and his assistant Chandler. Problem is, Yana has a chameleon type fob watch. Could he be a Time Lord? Love the way the Doctor has to keep Jack's libido in check. I was only saying hello. Oh look, Yana has changed into the Master and stolen the Doctor's TARDIS. Martha recognised the voice of the Master, but who did she think it was? Was it the Prime Minister, Mr. Saxon? Oh no, spoilers. To be continued. We enjoyed this one, but had to watch part two because we needed to remember how they got back to Martha's time. Stay safe and well, everybody. Linda and Terry Miles.
Linda and Terry Miles.
Thank you.
Everybody gets a theme tune. Yeah.
Get a jingle.
Right. So that leaves us with one last bit of feedback, Ben.
Chan Chameleon Arch Enemy Thor. Chan Masters of the End of Universe, though. Dear 20 megabytes, Utopia is, of course, a closely studied cautionary tale against too much introspection into fully understanding your essential real self. If you find out you are basically a malevolent megalomaniacal If you find out you're malevolent, megalomaniac, manical, psychopath, then it's not going to turn out well for those around you. It should be noted that whilst... Oh, for Christ's sake.
You've only got 2 years to get this right, mate.
Where do you get up to? Can you? I was doing some behind the scenes stuff,
This is unbelievable. Can you
go back to the beginning of the sentence there? I beg your pardon.
Okay, I'll do the big build up again. Yeah, shall go on. If you find out that you're basically a very malevolent, megalomaniacal psychopath, then it's going to not turn out for those very well around you. Ooh. Is that not almost worth a round of applause? I mean, it was a lot better the first time.
I'm digging out all sorts of sound effects at the moment. I can't suddenly get a round of applause out of it at that particular stage. Anyway, carry on.
Okay, Adam, your cue is the word whilst. Okay,
yeah, go on. Yeah.
That's the word whilst.
Yeah, go on then.
It should be noted that whilst... It really doesn't seem worth it, does it? It is a bit of a coincidence that the TARDIS turns up where it does at the end of the universe, where the undercover master just happens to be. In fact, it was as inevitable as the Saxon references required this encounter to have happened to allow established history to manifest. They just seem like words I read wrong. Also, we only just found out a few weeks ago that the TARDIS habitually and deliberately takes the Doctor where he needs to go. We also learn that a one-time ninth-ish Doctor companion and Shalka encountering alternative robot master resonates with events in the real Whoniverse after all, manifesting here with the same voice in the Yana incarnation. I don't understand. They're just words. What
was that? Yeah, after a while.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Was there... No?
No.
All in all, Utopia is a relatively pedestrian story in which there is a very prosaic representation of the far future, but with the blockbuster twist beautifully written and properly set up by the plot elements from earlier in the series.
Yes.
As you might expect, Derek J. Akobai excels in the transition and makes this one of the standout episodes of Doctor Who by that short sequence alone. It is one of the great things about Big Finish that they have allowed the development and employment of this master to such a great degree, which is still ongoing. Can I ask, just breaking away, who is the Doctor against Derek Jacobi's Big Finish
War Doctor
master?
Nobody. These are just stories that feature the master manipulating people to do things his way. But there's no doctor in those stories.
No, oh, okay. Interesting.
Master centric, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, thank you very much, ladies. I shall continue. this story is perhaps two episodes too short, as the next two episodes will anyhow be taken up finishing what it started here. Next up, Doctor Who and the now second worst Prime Minister ever. Is he having a dip? I mean, Margaret Thatcher's not been in power since 1991. It's a bit late to be dragging her up, isn't it? Love you, Boris. Or Dr. Dobby to Dr. Deity. Those are my thoughts. The counsellor, Alan T. Butcher.
Oh, thank you, Ben.
Ricky!
Managed to get through. Before I move on to the news section, I did forget to mention, obviously, that I was talking about the people I met at a Wales Comic Con, but I forgot to mention Michelle Collins, because when I did the shoot with Michelle, who's a very nice lady, she noticed the T-shirt and said, oh, is it good? And she asked me just as we were about to pose for the picture. So she says, oh, is it good? And I sort of didn't say anything, smiled for the picture, the flash went off, and I said, yes, it is. And she laughed, and off I went. So there we go. I'm presuming she was talking about the podcast. Yes, but it was nice of her to actually notice I was wearing the T-shirt. Doctor Who... What?
Master.
What?
If I may finally drive a nail into the scaffolding
pedantic business,
I have now posted a picture in the comment thread of the two scaffolds side by side, and they are definitely different.
Thank you, Kirby. Well worth waiting for.
I shall go and have a look.
When we saw the evolution of the Daleks and all that, I thought you mentioned even then that it was the same scaffolding as the lantern.
No.
No? Okay.
So, Series 3 ratings. So, they've done them in episode order, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Episode 1 had the highest rating of 5.81 million. And episode 4 had the lowest rating of 4.57 million. That was actually, for me, the best episode, so that was a bit weird.
Well, as people were gradually giving up on it.
Yeah, well, it was 8th in the charts on episode 1, and when it's 13th, then 19th, then 18th, then 21st, and 26th. And the Vanquishers. In fact, the timings of the episodes, not just the start time, a broadcast time, are a bit all over the place. For 49 minutes, 59 minutes, 49 minutes, 56 minutes, 50 minutes, 59. All over the place. But the AI was 76, 77, 75, 79, 77, and 76. So I take it from that.
The Angels got the highest AI.
Because that was the best one of the series. Yes. So there we go. I mean, it does say in the thing that the final episode of Series 13, Doctor Who Flux of Vanquishers, had a 7-day rating of 4.61 million viewers. The rating made Doctor Who the 6th most watched programme on BBC television for the week and the 26th most watched on all British TV. The chart was dominated by ITV's I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, with six of the top ten places. The most watched programme of the week was Strictly Come Dancing on BBC One. The rating gave Doctor Who an average rating of 5.15 million for the year. This is the lowest annual rating since the programme returned in 2005. However, the series scored lower than 5 million in 86, 87 and 89. In terms of chart position, each episode appeared in the list of the top 30 programmes of the week. With the conclusion of Series 13, Doctor Who had broadcast 868 episodes, which, if you watched them back-to-back, would, this is a Kirby fact, would last 17 days, 20 hours and 40 minutes.
How long?
Oh, good. 17 days.
This is a Kirby fact.
Yeah.
How many days?
17 days. Oh, 17 I've lost days. Right. 20 hours and 40 minutes.
So basically, you need a good 3 weeks.
Yeah. I think it takes longer to listen to all our episodes back to back, to be fair.
There are reasons for that.
Yes, Tim?
There's one of them.
Besides it being Tim Drury's birthday today, it happens to be Adric's birthday. Matthew Waterhouse turned 60 today.
I've met him.
Yay.
I should actually put the picture on. Mind you, wouldn't let me. I've got a picture of him somewhere up there. Here he is. Right then, Big Finish has had their license extended to 2030. So that's great news for Mary and other fans of Big Finish.
Yes.
And Chris Akelios, who was actually at Wales Comic Con when I was up there, and I didn't notice him because I was looking at other stuff, has passed away at the age of 74. He's a Doctor Who artist who's well known for the earlier Target novel covers before Alistair.
He died of a broken heart, Adam, because you didn't look at him.
I think I probably did look at him, but I didn't actually look at him for very long.
He was waiting for you. Say hello to him. You didn't do it. A couple of weeks later.
It's just we were really busy on Saturday.
Look at all those covers. I have many of those.
Yeah, they're very iconic. Those covers, and he was the predecessor to Alistair Pearson, and I remember Andrew Skillet put a very lovely tribute on social media about him.
So, Alistair's very nice, isn't he?
Yes. Doctor Who magazine issue 572 is out with a very festive cover featuring, surprise surprise, a Dalek. Right then, so that means because Matt Kirby's not reminded me over the last three episodes that we can actually do the sponsors. Now I found a bit of music for the sponsors, didn't
what?
I? What do you mean, what?
We're doing a quiz?
What are you on about? Where did you get the word quiz from? I said sponsors.
We're not doing a quiz, thank you.
Where the hell did you get that idea from?
You just said quiz.
I didn't. I said sponsors.
You didn't say quiz.
I thought he said quiz.
Oh, God.
I didn't say quiz, but I did when Kirby said it.
I said quiz.
Did you?
In my Adam voice.
Oh, God. Right then. Because obviously Christmas is coming, this is your last chance to go to whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
And buy your Doctor Who, Whovian, whatever you want to call him, fan, loved one.
I think though possibly, you'd have to pay for express shipping to get
I don't think I could get it in time.
Possibly. K9 Audio Annual. The Sixth Doctor 11. Which is quite a cool cover on it. It's a split between a friend of the show, Colin Baker, and somebody else. Fifth Doctor Lost Resort, another Big Finish production featuring the Fifth Doctor. And I've got my picture with the Fifth Doctor up underneath my Alistair Pearson original painting of the Fifth Doctor up in the corner there. What else we've got here? Ashes of Eternity, a Ninth Doctor story featuring William Piper and Christopher Eccleston. Missy 3 featuring somebody that Debbie and I have met, called Michelle Gomez, playing Missy. That's an incarnation of the Master, by the way. Ben,
love Michelle Gomez. She's total loon. She's brilliant.
Yeah.
And 11th Doctor Chronicles 2 featuring, surprise, surprise, the 11th Doctor. So all these new, you know, new Who style Big Finish stories are starting to come out now. Coming soon.
Has anyone ever noticed the word new rhymes with who?
I had noticed that. Stuff you can buy after Christmas, which is pretty not quite themed, as the 8th Doctor Stranded 3. Babian the Butcher, Diary of Riversong 9, Great Sondaran War, Jenny the Doctor's Daughter 2, Ninth Doctor Adventures Lost Warriors, Red List.
Jenny the Doctor's Daughter sounds like it should be the name for a song. Jenny the Doctor's Daughter was a lovely little
had
a lovely face on her and a cracking ass.
You can also get some lots of nice little figure sets, 5-inch figure sets. For your shelves and whatnot. So that's who1.co.uk. Lavaza.
Who1.co.uk?
A bit late, Kirby, but never mind. A bit late than never.
I already said it once.
Did you? I didn't hear you. Oh, damn. Doctor Who merchandise.
Is that who1.co.uk?
For your Christmas. TARDIS laptop bag, a Ninth Doctor scarf, short one, a Ninth Doctor scarf, a long one. Doctor Who Christmas jumper. Get as big a size as you can get, because I got a 2XL and it was like wearing a straitjacket. Tardith and Dalek's Christmas scarf.
I'd hate to break it to you, mate.
Stop it. Stop it.
All 3XL.
Tardith's Christmas hat, which does fit me. Doctor Who customizable shoulder bag with pins. That's got badges all stuck to it. And a 13th Doctor scarf. Which is very, if you're a fan of Pride or follow Pride-related things, it fits nice. It's a Pride scarf, basically. Fourth Doctor shorter scarf. Tie, Pandorica open scarf. The Season 18 Burgundy Fourth Doctor scarf. There's lots of stuff here. It's really, really cool. And you can buy that from Lavazzi, but get them in quick, because Christmas is nearly here, isn't it, everybody? Yes, all right. I'll just
I don't think I can get that stuff in time.
Oh, stop being negative. People might be listening to that in a year's time, Kirby, and might be planning for next Christmas, as in Christmas 2022.
Already? Got there, Will.
As if Boris is trying to scupper that one as well. Right then, where do we go? Oh, yeah, I was going to go to IW Heroes.
Personally, I think we should be in lockdown right now.
Why? I've been triple injected. Vaccined, whatever you call it. Oh, no, it won't load up. Oh, because I didn't type it in right. IW Heroes. There we go. That's loaded now. And at IW Heroes, you can
get... What have you been triple injected with, Adam?
Well, apparently, according to the... apparently, I'm a now walking 5G master, according to people like David Icke. So, interesting to see. I should actually get a very good signal on my brand new iPhone 13 Pro.
No,
because that can pick up 5G. the most important comic book on Earth... is available there, along with Dead by Dawn Halloween graphic novel, a hero's teddy bear, and some pop vinyls seem to be quite popular these days, featuring Walking Dead,
Kylie Minogue, Bananarama,
Marvel Eternals, pardon?
7-inch singles.
Marvel Eternals and all sorts of current, all pre-orders, what have we got in there? Oh, it's exactly the same as before. So go to iwheroes.co.uk where you can buy stuff, and if you're in the UK, they'll send it to you. The other thing I was going to talk about...
Are they working on that so that I could eventually order something?
You're going to come to the UK just to buy something from Heroes? Good idea.
No,
they'll appreciate that. What?
You know, Kirby, you could always ask Adam to buy it for you and send it on and pay him for it, because he'd do that for you.
No, he wouldn't. I saw a film called Spider-Man No Way Home, I think it was called. Very good. Isabella called it a masterpiece. I don't think the master's in it, but nevertheless...
That a joke?
It's very good. That's all I'm going to say about it, because I don't want to spoil anything, because the potential for spoilers is quite high.
Does it have Spider-Man in it?
Yes.
stop it.
Sorry about spoiling that bit. But yes, guys, go and watch it. It's so good. It really is so good. I sat there, I think it was about 2.5 hours, but at the time just went, because it was just constant entertainment. Brilliant, brilliant film.
I'm not going to see movies in theaters for quite some time.
Don't blame you.
Oh, aren't you?
No.
I want to see Ghostbusters. I haven't seen it yet.
That's not in the cinema anymore. They've taken it out.
I know. I'm just saying. I haven't seen it yet, and I've missed it.
Okay. Right then, so that's... they should, well, go, they should,
sorry,
keep
Adam,
this
I'll
in.
Just over the other side of the room. I've just got a review of Ghostbusters. A couple of my mates went to see it the other day.
Yes?
And they basically said it's just the same lines from the first film said in a kind of way of, here's another line from the first film. and it's all right. It's nothing special at all. So don't worry about it. I wouldn't. Yeah.
Okay. But as far as the cinema goes, right. I just think they should have COVID passports for cinemas and anything that's an inside event, and everybody can feel safe then. We wore our masks, and like me and Deb both had been treble jabbed, and we have COVID passports. But
I could get.
I don't think everybody else did.
Finally, we had to get over having COVID before we were allowed to have it.
You had to get over having COVID. Oh, do you mean that you have the jabs?
Yeah, we're not allowed. There's no point in having the booster until at least 4 weeks after you've had COVID.
No, that makes sense. Right then, so that concludes the news and the sponsorship feature of the show. And I've talked about Spider-Man No Way Home, so I've done rather well. So I hope everybody has a great Crimbo, because all I've got coming, apart from the odd gift here, there is a really good subscription to Ancestry, which I've been looking forward to.
That's going to be brilliant.
It's a full, it's a full whammy. I've never had the full one before. I've only had the UK search facility, so I've got the whole thing coming. So I'm looking forward to
Adam, I'm sure I'll get round to dropping your present round at some point this year.
Thank you. So that's what I'm sort of getting. Oh, yeah, and a cinema ticket, you know, an unlimited cinema facility. Ironic, considering everybody's scared about going to the cinema. I will say it was quite full for the Spider-Man. But it's the only time it's been full, for me, since before COVID, long before COVID, in fact. You know, so it was, in a way, it's quite nice for my friend Macy, who runs Cineworld in Newport. Because obviously her job relies on it, doesn't it? Right then, so
I got a cinema voucher for Christmas last year that is still unused in my wallet. So that's how I've been.
I wonder if it's still valid.
I'll go down there and say to them, is it still valid? And if not, I'll give it to my dad for Christmas.
Okay, right then. So that's
it is true that I went to see Phantom of the Opera on a Halloween, but. That was before Omicron.
No, Omicron. It does sound like a baddie, doesn't it?
All right, Doctor will save us.
Remember from Lure, from Omicron.
I tell you what.
And Futurama.
I reckon the next thing coming that's going to scare people, so there's this thing called the Common Cold. The people are going absolutely bonkers. Yeah. Isabella has got the Common Cold upstairs. So.
Tyler,
but don't tell anyone. Anyway, right. So everybody be... you know, getting really scared.
No way to stop that.
What, the common cold?
Yeah. Yes, there is. It's just that they won't release it. Otherwise, big companies will go out of business, right. And people will stop buying cold and flu remedies.
Yes. Drink and lots of sleep and liquids.
Yes.
And make sure you take your beach.
But it is quite funny, isn't it? You go out there, anybody sneezes or coughs, everybody sort of like almost runs to the other side of the
Oh, you sneeze! Okay.
The funniest thing I've seen, when I sneeze and I've got my mask on, I tend to hold the mask in place and my hands over the mask and sneeze like that. But you see people pulling the mask away from their face and sneeze and put it back on again.
Oh, so there's some numpties. I mean, the whole point.
Yes. Anyway, so next time, this is the last show of 2021. Next time will be in the new year, 2022, where we'll probably have to put up exactly the same thing we've had to put up with for the last 2 years. But we'll still be podcasting. And we'll be looking at the double-ended episodes of the end of Series 3, which are called Kirby. No, not called Kirby. What are they called, Kirby? Oh, no. What's the names of the episodes we're just about to watch? The two Master episodes.
Well, and by then, what we have seen the...
oh, yes, the New Year special.
Oh, yes, we're well at.
Yes. One, yeah. Oh, we'll talk about that as well.
Okay. That Sound of Drums and Last of the Time Lords.
Yeah, that's the Sound of Drums, Last of the Time Lords, and a little bit of a discussion about the Dalek episode, surprise, surprise, that's going to be on New Year's Day the day before. And then it'll be sort of more or less back to normal in regards to our show for a while, because there's not much happening between now and April. So
we'll be back to the journey as usual.
Journey as usual.
Journey.
Yes.
So we'll continuing the Tenant era. And I must try and get a heads up with Valile Shabalala to try and get her on the show. She's a bit relaxed in regards to communicating back to people. But I'm hoping that I can get Valile onto the show when we do the next Doctor. But that's, it's not.
Oh, that would be excellent.
It would be, but I'm not promising anything. But she's a very nice lady, and I think she would do it if available and if she can remember to do it. But
We're talking January the 2nd?
That's for the Sound of Drums and thing.
Yeah, Last of the Time Lords, yes.
Last of the Time Lords, and a little discussion about the New Year special. Okay. So until next time, next year, thank you for listening, taking part, and supporting the show throughout of 2021. Please continue to do so. Goodbye. Merry Christmas.
Goodbye, Fancy Pants.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry bloody Christmas!
Santa Ben!
Santa Ben!
Ho, ho, ho.
Oh, hey, talk to Ben.
I can't find the stop button.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production sponsored by whoone.co.uk, lavazi.co.uk, and iwheroes.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.